Well, isn't that good? The track is called Chocolate. It's off the brand new album from Ziggy Alberts. The album's called Searching for Freedom. It's out now, and Ziggy joins me on the line. Hi, Ziggy, all the way from Australia.
Hello, good sir. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, listen, it's a pleasure to talk to you because this is your fifth studio album. You'll forgive me, you're not the oldest person I've ever interviewed. You're only, what, 26, 27?
26. I'm certainly not the oldest person. I'm not even the oldest person in the room.
Indeed. Now, but, you know, you started in around 2010, 2011. Your parents gave you a guitar as a graduation present because you're supposed to be a dentist by now.
I was supposed to be a dentist or an engineer or something, and then I had a gap year and I never went back to university. So my 10 years gap year is still going.
That's a very fair point. It's always good to have something to fall back on, but it's not looking like that's ever going to happen, is it? Do you think your parents saw something in you, or how did that whole transition from a sensible, sturdy career into being a musician and living an impoverished life?
Yeah, they... Luckily, my parents are unbelievably awesome, and they really, look, their exact words to me was like, it's not like your kids and a mortgage or anything else, which also is not a wrong reason to go out and start your music career, but as far as they were like, what do you have to lose? And I was like, well, there couldn't have been an easier time to go for it. Look, I think they knew I was into my creative writing. But they didn't presume, they didn't know. It was kind of like, well, here's a guitar. And it was really quite a surprise to me because I wasn't hinting, oh, I'm going to be a musician. Nothing like that at all. And it just became this whirlwind. I think some memories flood back to those first moments. And they were just very supportive. And now I have worked with my father now for the better part of 3 years with the record label that we started as well. So it's been a big journey altogether for all of us. We're all very tight.
But that's great, isn't it, to have a label and everything all under your control? That makes life easier, doesn't it? I mean, it must make it also harder in one way because you've got to do it all and you've got to do it all yourself. You can't outsource a huge amount, but it does give you that control, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, as a control freak, it's a dream. As somebody who really struggles with letting go, it's fantastic. I love it. It doesn't challenge me in any way. Look, it's really, really good for the most part, all jokes aside, to have the autonomy and the decision-making that we have as a team here, as a small family-run independent team. What we get to do and how we achieve it is so efficient, and there's no hoops to jump through and there's no politics. And so we really make a lot of our decisions kind of on the fly, and that is fantastic. That level of autonomy is wonderful, and it's a part of the reason we even did things like Brainwaves amongst this album campaign, is because we decided it was the right thing to do. So it's it has been an incredible journey, and I think I'm going to be independent for a very long time to come.
It's interesting you mentioned Brainwaves, because Brainwaves is an accompanying book which is released at the same time. And I was reading it at the weekend, and it's, I mean, your own words are, it's kind of a smattering, isn't it, of some long, slightly longer pieces and some smaller thoughts. It struck me before you said the fact that you'd done creative writing. It struck me about sort of bits of lyrics that might be bouncing around or ideas that perhaps could become a song. But there's one thing, you don't have to make something into a problem in order to change it. And I just thought, you know what, that is genius. I love that. And, and there's a few in there like that. It's so worth reading because there's some great insights in there. Is this just creative writing for writing's sake, or how do you bridge between creative writing and lyrics for a song? Because there's kind of rules when that happens, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a really good question. What's cool is that I actually it wasn't like I was super into poetry before I started writing. Some of it's not even poetry. Some of it's just basic reflection upon stuff that I forget. Like literally, for example, that I love, that's the one you picked up, because I so often find myself, I need those reminders. That's why I write them down, so I don't forget it. And so when I do forget it, I can read it and be like, don't make that into a problem. You don't need to make it to a problem to change it. You know, like it's stuff that sometimes probably doesn't even count as poetry. And, look, it's something that was born out of, I guess, meditation, and it was almost like what music was at the start. It was kind of this thing I just started doing for the sake of doing it. It was just something that was how I almost journaled my life experiences, and it's been a crazy journey. Crazy to have a book out. It's just been awesome, and it is a different thing to the lyrics, but they go well together. But I don't often recycle or share them. They kind of end up being separate things, and then in times there's crossover, and potentially in the future there will be more crossover. But it has been, I'd say, the songwriting now comes from like wanting to get a really clear message across, and it needs more words, whereas maybe poetry is more reflection upon meditation, so to speak. That's kind of where I'd say. But they constantly cross over, man. But I'm so stoked you got the book. That's rad.
Oh, I love the book. Love the book. And I have to say, normally, I mean, this whole thing with the way we digest music now, people say, oh, you know, the days of the album are dead because, you know, you get it on Spotify or you get it as a digital download and you just hop around. And there are albums where you go on and you pick the half a dozen out of the 12 tracks that you like and you play those. But this latest album, Searching for Freedom, I've listened to it several times already. That in itself is unusual for me. I know you've got Heartbeat on there, which has been a single. You've got Chocolate on there, which is the current single coming out. But actually, it's one of those albums that you put on at the beginning and you switch off at the end. In my book, it doesn't matter where you join it, and it's not an album in the oh these are the singles and here's some other stuff.
Man, that's thank you, because that's a in my books a very a touching compliment, because I have worked throughout my whole career to be an album artist, because I had Ben Howard, for example, as one of my early inspirations. I had Jack Johnson as one of my early inspirations, and these guys made albums you didn't have to skip. And so, you know, particularly that, you know, in Ben Howard reference, that Every Kingdom album I went out as quite a young lad, as like, you know, maybe I was 19 or 20, and everyone was, you know, it was quite funny because people were like, what do you mean you're putting out a 14-track album? I was like, that's what my heroes do, kind of thing. And so, and I think to the contrary, I think with all this single push that goes on all the time now, that people are craving lengths of work. And that's why I think things like podcasts have become so popular. There is this pushback. That's why the vinyl has had a total resurgence. And so for me, man, it truly was and is a massive goal to try and make an album and write a story that people don't have to switch off from, and that hopefully can kind of be a good companion. And then people, you know, with this album, Searching for Freedom, people can finish that final track, take a deep breath and go out into the world. That's what I hope.
I think you're absolutely right. And the combination of the album and the book together, for me, just absolutely works brilliantly. So I wish you... It's an interesting take that you've mentioned names like Jack Johnson there. I think you're onto something. It's your fifth album. I'm sure it's not going to be your last. And you've been to the UK on tour before. Will we see you here again anytime soon, do you think? I know it's tricky at the moment.
No, that's our big plan. Absolutely. We definitely plan to be back and in the UK. We had some great shows lined up all throughout the UK, and I guess, you know, we had a lot of gigs actually through the UK on the run that we were going to do before it got cancelled. So I think 2022 is a good number, and I think 2022 is going to be the year we're going to be back in the UK playing shows all together. I'm really looking forward to it, and yeah, I want to say thank you to everybody on Cambridge 105, because for us over here, particularly not being able to tour, it is everybody that's supporting us overseas that's getting out this. It's a fully independent record. We're a small team. I'm at the office right now, and we're a small family run team, so all support we get with you guys over there is just absolutely phenomenal. So I just want to say thanks to you, Neil, and to all the listeners for the support on this record. It's incredible.
It's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. We'll look forward to seeing you when you make it to the UK. In the meantime, we'll content ourselves with the album and the book. But for now, Ziggy, lovely to talk to you, and you take care.
Likewise, sir. And hey, and see you guys soon. Let's do it again.